What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Y'all Ain't Easy podcast. And we going. Yeah, welcome to the Y'all Ain't Easy podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Darnell.
What's up? This is Rob.
It's your boy, Joaquin.
And your girl, Nisha.
Yeah. And we're excited about our podcast where we bring our conversations to you about how we feel about the world, relationships, family life.
And whatever else we want to talk about.
Yeah. Sir. If you haven't checked out any of our episodes, please make sure you go check them out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and follow us on any of our social medias on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter at Y'all Ain't Easy _podcast. Other than that, what's up, people? How y'all doing?
I'm doing good, man. Oh, actually, you know what? Let me stop. Ladies first.
Yes.
I'm good. You know, can't complain. Been enjoying this little weather lately, except for the super hot day that we had. But I'm happy to be back on air. I miss you guys. New season. Ready for the new shenanigans, you know?
That's what's up.
Yes.
What's up?
My week's been good. Just chilling, man, running around with the kiddos, trying to get things done. But yeah, man, I'm happy for the weather. Good weather. Summertime coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Good times, good vibes, bro.
Same here, feeling good, loving the weather, you know. Had my first piece of cookout meat, so I'm good, my steak. You know what I mean?
Cookout meat.
It's starting off good. When we back, that's what I like.
That's what's up. Same here. My week's been good. I'm good. I'm glad to be back on the recording with everybody. You know, so it is what it is. But other than that, you know, there's been some things that's been going on in the news. So let's recap always some things.
Always something.
Yeah, definitely. First, an interesting story. There was a California woman that purchased a couch on Craigslist, and it had about $36,000 in it. And she actually returned the money and got $2,000 from the person that sold the couch. So I wanted to bring that up because I wanted to find out what my fellow members of the podcast would have done. And I guess since I brought it out there, I would probably not have returned the $36,000. You would have to prove that it was in that couch. And we can go from there. And, you know, I may...
Wow.
Just in case you come back, I may put, you know, a couple of thousand in there and we can look together when you come to the house and be like, oh, I didn't even know that was in there. But I don't know about the whole $36,000, you know.
Definitely not the 36. So, you know, that two that they gave the person, I'll give them the two and I'm keeping the 34.
I don't know. I probably would return it, but I would have probably dipped out of it a little bit. Took about five G's, put it to the side, and they're like, this is all I found was up in there.
You know? Yo.
Go ahead, Rob. Go say you're going to give all $36,000.
I would. I absolutely would. You know, I'm probably one of the only people that have actually been in this situation, not $36,000,
mm-hmm.
but actually found a wallet that had about, I think it was like $600 in it. And I was like 15, 16 at the time, and I found the wallet. What did I do? I contacted, found the person, and gave the money back.
And what'd they give you?
They gave me like $20, bro.
That's that Willy Lump Lump move, man.
$20, bro. They gave me $20.
I think $600, you might think, oh, maybe somebody's struggling.
Yeah.
$36,000 in a couch? I'm going to be assuming that you're doing well. You're okay. Because
you're living good.
Over here. You ain't know that it was in the couch that you just sold me. You're doing fine. You're not missing this 36 grand. Over.
Can we not miss
it?
Go ahead.
If you think about it, why would somebody put money in a couch? They must have been doing something illegal.
You already know.
Not necessarily, but, you know, it. This must be money in different parts of the house. And it was very careless for you to not remember that you've been stashing money inside of a couch. It's kind of crazy.
you know, this is wild.
I stash money, but I'm not doing anything illegal. But trust me, if I'm giving away something, I know where I stashed it at.
Exactly. That's
this is wild. Y'all are trying to justify stealing someone's money. Like, y'all are trying to put this, like, now y'all are the
moral
police.
That's not stealing, though.
Y'all are the moral police when you're trying to justify what it's right to take someone else's money.
The only way I'm giving money back that accidentally I came across is if it was in my bank account, because it's traceable funds.
Exactly.
I'm not giving back funds that was stashed in a couch that I bought on Craigslist, because I'm going to change my address and I'm going to dip and no one's going to know.
Hey, Rob, that's not stealing money. It was given to you.
Bought that. It came with the package that I bought.
You know what's so funny?
That's what it is.
You know what's so funny? I'll let Rob act like he's the good guy. But I remember a certain individual.
I don't know where this is going.
We did have an episode where, and it's so funny that we got a text today from Renisha that you are who you hang around, and we got into detail about, you know, certain little friends that, you know, make like steal type certain type stuff and stuff like that.
I've never stolen anything with you.
You
Doc.
Haven't
I don't
stole,
know what you're talking
but
about. All right, I want to hear this story. I'm curious.
You didn't mind having friends that may have, you know, had, you know, stole a few things and maybe, you know, stole money from bank. But still, I mean, you ain't gonna act like you just a good guy all the way around and just trying to make us seem like we're kind of like.
Darnell, if you want to steal Louis Vuitton Nike sneakers and give them to me, that's different. I'll take that from you because you're my friend and you made a decision. I may not agree with your lifestyle, but I'm gonna take what you give me as a gift. I'm not going to steal from someone else. I think
you're not
going
to tell me to take it back, even if you know if I stole it.
I probably have a conversation with you.
But you took the stolen goods, so you stole too.
Just don't go in there and store because you know the security tag is in the material.
At the end of the day, I can say when faced with the situation, I did return it. And I got $20 back.
You probably got a PS5 and you probably didn't get it from GameStop or any other stores. You probably got it from a Kinect for a certain amount of money. And let's just say
I resent that.
That could be received as stolen goods.
I resent that. I actually stood in line to get my PS5. And got my PS5.
That's what's up.
This good guy stuff we got going on.
I'm just saying. I'm a good guy.
That's hilarious.
Wait, can I say one more thing about this stuff?
I'm about to call Auntie Mickey and find out what's going on. Because I don't think this is for real.
Please do. Joaquin, how could you? I don't know if Renisha said it too. What in your mind thinks that someone's going to believe that the wall or whatever you gave them back? Like, there was only 2,000 in this, right? Of the 36. Like, so I'm just going to give you back what was there. It was only 2,000 left. Like, who's going to leave 2,000 and steal everything else? Like, that's crazy.
I would at least took six.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
The rest of the money fell out when you gave it to Coach.
That makes
somebody
sense.
Somebody else in your family took it.
It was 36,000. Just give them 30 and take six.
Exactly. I take the six. And be like, somebody went in your stash before you sold me the couch.
Just think about it. You got to go get a U-Haul or get a U-Haul van to bring it back.
Exactly.
Gas money. And then your time. That's worth $6,000.
Yep. That just be a secret between me, myself, and I.
The person who lost that money is not getting back more than I'm keeping.
I guarantee it was dirty money probably anyway.
Yeah.
No, you're just saying that to make yourself feel better, but I'm gonna leave it alone.
I know it's making me feel good too.
That's what's up. What else? There's some other stuff that's been going on. There's another story that happened where a gentleman, there was two gentlemen that met each other and playing sports. And one of the gentlemen owned the property but had one of the teammates live with him as roommates. And in the process, the roommate lost his job. It doesn't say how long he went without, you know, holding his side of the bargain, like paying rent and paying bills. But his friend told him that he had to leave, you know what I mean, because he wasn't keeping up his end. And what happened later on, because of that conversation, the gentleman came back to the crib and basically robbed the dude for like $6,000, I believe, in Cash App. And then he tied the dude up, put him in the back of the car. And who knows what he was planning on doing. But he drove like 45 minutes from the house, and then he got out of the car, and the dude in the back tied up realized he was gone for a long period of time, and he was able to get out of the, you know, the tape and whatever he was bondaged in to get out of his vehicle and then run off. Mm-hmm. I guess we can
at
say
at gunpoint. I don't know if you said at gunpoint.
It definitely was at gunpoint. I might have missed that, but yeah, it was definitely at gunpoint. And because the dude was the dude that he stuck up was definitely bigger than the friend that came back to the house.
Yeah, definitely bigger.
He was like two times the size of the dude. Mm-hmm. But you know, you want to fight against the gun. He had to really think about that, and he was, who knows what he did, but he got away, and it just made me think like. I don't know if I had a roommate or someone considered a friend and they lost their job, how long I would sit there. Because, you know, sometimes when people lose their job, they don't really be looking for another one. They just be lazy as heck. They go out.
It could be, yep, they get complacent.
Yeah. And I'm like, how long would I would have a conversation like, yeah, my boy, you got to find a job, bro. I'm not going to support a grown man month after month after month. And if you're not looking for a job, so I would have probably told you after like 60 days, maybe 90.
I was gonna ask a question for you. You asked a question, then you answered it yourself. Me being your friend,
yeah,
right. You said how long would I give? I'd say you give them 2 weeks. I know. I think you give them 2 weeks
after losing a job, bro.
I don't think it's going past 2 weeks. I think two weeks. I think you're gonna be annoyed, Darnell. You're gonna be like, yeah, come in the house. This dude's feet's gonna be on the couch.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Watching Netflix, and you're going to lose it after 2 weeks. Yeah, absolutely.
That would be frustrating.
Eating your food.
Drinking your milk.
Munching on your snacks.
And don't let them be a gamer, too. Like,
you see what I'm saying? 2 weeks, Darnell, max for you.
I would get, I'm very, I don't know.
Darnell would be like, I love you to death. Hugs.
I love that on the death. I think you could be impatient. I think you're going to be impatient in that situation, Darnell. I think you would be. I think I would be.
Yeah, I'm not.
But Darnella walked to the person like a businessman, like, I know, you know, you lost your job and everything, but time for you to go.
He might even pray for it before he throws him out. I'm just saying.
This said, if it was really any of my real friends, it would definitely be longer than that. But to have that conversation, if they're not doing anything, they're like, oh, D got it. Like, I would be like, you know, we got to have a talk. And it'd be like, yeah, mm-hmm. don't take this any kind of way. We're still friends after that, after this. But yeah, bro, you got to go live with your mom, your sister. I don't know. Call a family member, but you can't stay here rent free.
It's hard to deal with. I mean, if it's a roommate situation where maybe it's just like a roommate, you know, people be advertising for roommates. Maybe y'all are not friends. It could be a stranger type situation. Might be a little different. So I think it definitely would depend on the relationship you have with the person who you're roommating with. But I'm not really big on roommate stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't like it in college. I never had it when I was on my own, just always been by myself. I know my daughter has to have them when she goes away to school, I think freshman year. But after that, if she can get a single, I prefer she have one. Like, it's just so much with roommates. Like, I'm just like my own space. And I'm not even the only child. So I've shared rooms and had roommates and stuff. You know what I mean? As far as siblings. But I don't know. Over the years, I've heard way too many terrible roommate stories.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even encourage it, to be honest. I don't care how high the room is.
Speaking of bad roommate stories, I got a friend, actually two friends, and one of them is going to hear this probably, where they ended up moving in together. One of them didn't have a job. Then he got a job. So he was staying for a little bit of time. It was free. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was letting him get his, you know, his feet together, whatever. He gets the job. So then the other roommate raises the rent, starts expecting money. Dude didn't like how much he was charging him. He starts going through bills that are coming to the house.
Oh, man.
Electric bills, you know what I'm saying? Cable bills. And I'm interested in your opinion on this. So there were three of them, right? Two of them were my friends. He goes to the other dude like, yo, how much is he charging you a month, right? So dude gives him the amount. He's like, yo, that's way too much. I opened up the electric bill, and it was only this much. Why are we paying this? So it ends up being a back and forth. It gets real ugly. I get the phone call. But I'm interested. Like, what do you think about that? Like, as far as what he did.
That's shady.
That is shady.
The person that was charging everybody, were they the ones that were on the lease or owned the property?
It was their apartment. They were on the lease.
Yeah.
But they set a set expectation for what everyone was going to have to pay.
Yeah.
The other guy wanted to go and do some research as to what he was paying overall.
Yeah.
So is that shady, though? Because he wanted to know overall, what are you paying? You're charging me this.
Yeah.
And you're charging him this.
Yeah.
Why are we paying this amount if that's all you have to put out?
No, the person who did the searching, the research to find this out is not shady. The person who's overcharging. Oh,
that's the one.
I gotta put my hands up.
As far as I'm concerned. So I think, yeah, like, so he probably has the two roommates covering the rent, but he might be pretty much doing what he wants to do with his money, acting like he's a goddamn landlord, right? Like
that's pretty much what he is.
He is.
When they rent out, you're not a landlord if you don't own the property. If you are a roommate, if someone came in here into my apartment to live with me where I'm already at, this still is not, I'm still not his landlord. Like, we're still in a compromising, sharing situation. Like,
whose name is on the lease?
Mine. But there's going to be things that happen after a certain amount of time that they're here that it makes it complicated to get out. And then I'm still not able to just put them out. The person who actually owns the property still has to be the ones to do that. So again,
well, I mean, there's more to that.
Because of a landlord when I don't, I'm that's not my thing.
Yeah, I totally disagree. One big thing for me is I hate when people count people's pockets and want to be snooping. You're a grown adult. First of all, my name is on the lease. If you want to come move in here, I'm telling you what I'm charging. You can decide as an adult whether you want to do it or you don't want to do it. But if you have a problem with it, you can get out. I don't have to charge you based on what the rent is and what the monthly bills are. If I'm telling you that in order to live up in here, you got to pay $600 a month. What I'm doing behind the scenes ain't none of your business. But if you find out and you got a problem with it, you can get the hell out.
So wait. Go ahead, Joaquin. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I kind of feel what Donnell's saying, though, too. You know, if you're a grown person, you just take care of your own responsibilities and start worrying about everybody else's responsibilities when that person is really helping you out. You're not helping them out. You just go and do what you got to do. Pay your bills, dude. Start worrying about everybody else's.
It's a hustle.
Would you overcharge your friend, though? Like, why would you? Why would you overcharge your friend?
It's a hustle.
It's not overcharging your friend.
It's your friend.
It's about helping your friend out that just gave you an apartment to stay in. You ain't have nowhere
else. Sounds like indentured servitude. Like, I feel like I'm going to let you come here and live with me. So you're down now. You're at your worst. You can come in here. But now I'm going to charge you to the max because now I know that you have a job and income. Instead of helping you get on your feet, I'm going to charge you above what I should so that I can live comfortably.
Now, if
it's just someone, again, if it's just a random and this is what you're doing, I guess make your money. That's your hustle. But if
I would appreciate it.
I'm not doing that to my friend. That's just about doing that to my friend. My friend is probably coming to me in a roommate situation because she's already probably struggling financially, right? So for me to take advantage of her downfall and overcharge her while I'm living happily, and people, what did Joaquin just say? They're doing you a favor or something. That's y'all doing each other a favor because
exactly. You're doing each other a favor.
Let's be honest. If in fact you didn't have the roommates, right, you would be left paying all of these bills by yourself. Mm-hmm.
True, so, but I wouldn't be complaining.
At the end of the day, that would be that. So, I'm happy to know, Donnell, that this is the type of friend you are.
Hold on. I will mute your mic.
God forbid I get stranded in North Carolina.
No. Wait.
Because I don't think I'm not fucking with Donnell.
This is what the cousins do. They tell a story. I'm not done. You tell a story and then you switch it up after everybody gave their opinion. Wait. You did. I'm going to tell you how you switch it. If you listen, these two cousins, you can never stop them. But what happened was you're assuming that the reason why they're roommates is because of the person's in a bad situation. not necessarily the case, because I know people that take up opportunity like, hey, you got free room, that'll free up more money to you that I can go do whatever the heck I want to do. Let me move in with you. Right now, I don't want to pay all the bills on my own. I'm going to move in with you so I can do other festivities, take trips, go do whatever.
It's a financial strain, because if I live on my own and pay my own rent, I can't take my trips
it
and
does,
I can't
no,
do
no,
what
no.
I want.
It doesn't always...
It's a financial problem. I don't mean you're broke.
No.
It doesn't mean you don't have a job. It means that you are trying to lessen your finances so that you can expand to do more personal
things. That doesn't mean that that's a financial problem. It could be your priorities.
Living space, right? So I can go and travel and hang out with my friends.
But people do, though. People do.
No.
I'm telling you, they do. It's a fact. They do. They do that so they can do other festivities and don't... Their priorities are not in order, is what it is. People do that all the time. They look at opportunities where they can do this. Oh, I don't really want to pay all these bills. I don't want to do this. My friends got this. Oh, I can just do, and they agree with it. Like, oh, I can just move in, pay half, and then I can do all these other stuff that I want to do. Like,
the only way I will allow a friend to do that on that end is if the friend was actually moving in because their plan was to save up to do something bigger, like purchase a home. If that's not what, I will allow my friend to do that. If my friend is coming here and it's like, look, I really want to buy this house. I need 6 months to consistently save. As long as there's other help around the house and input in other ways, first of all, I'm always paying my rent, right? Whether my friend's here or not, I still gotta pay my rent, right? So I'm good. That's gonna be that. She comes here and she has this huge purpose, something like that. That would be the only way that I'm going to be okay with even having someone come and stay, and then probably not even charge them nowhere near like a rent price. Because if that's the case, you can stay on your own and pay your rent and try to save for your house if that's what I'm gonna do. But if that's not the case, but I'm still not gonna like overcharge. If my rent is $2,000, I'm not charging my friend $1,700. Like
you may think that.
Like it's ridiculous.
You may think that, but what if they come move in and feel that you're overcharging them based off of whatever you charge them? They go, oh, you're not really paying that much. I don't really, why are you overcharging when your bills are low? Your mortgage is only $1,000.
Because that's not what, I wouldn't have that conversation because if we wanted to, if I'm going to be upfront, I'm going to be upfront. If you want to see the proof that the mortgage is this much, the rent is this much, and this is why I'm charging you this much. If you still don't agree, like if it's showing you that that's only half or a quarter of what I'm paying, and I'm only charging you this much, and you can see that, then that's that. But if I'm showing you $5,000 or $2,000 worth of bills, and then you're coming out your pocket with $3,000 a month, or whatever the case may be, I'm gonna question, like, why am I putting money in your pocket that much?
But we don't have to discuss that, though.
But yes,
you should. As a friend, you should.
You should.
That's crazy.
As a friend, you should. I just said in the beginning of my conversation, these terms would differ depending on the relationship. So if that's my friend, I'm going to have this conversation. If this is someone who I posted something in a random person, applied to this, and that this is my hustle, then I do what I do. But my friend, not taking advantage of my friend. That's it.
Can I say something here?
Go ahead.
So I'm glad to hear, Renisha, that you have some sense and an ability to say, you know what? I'm going to help this individual. We know if we're in a situation with Darnell, all of a sudden one day he's going to show up with Louis Vuitton shoes, Prada jackets.
No.
What are you paid for?
Let's not misinterpret what I'm saying. Yeah. We're not going to do that. But what it is as a friend, to be honest, if you need a place to stay, I don't have to sit you down and give you a breakdown of what I pay and what I'm responsible for. You absolutely do not. That conversation, that's it. I mean, to be honest, it's a weird conversation to be like, listen, this is all that I pay. This is now you already have a financial situation. So I'm going to break out all my bills and tell you have to pay half of that or a percentage of that. And that's really going to help them. I doubt now. And this
overcharging
is just
overcharging them to pay all.
This
your
is
bills,
just sticking
really help
because
them?
No, this is just going off really of because you're okay. Assuming that everybody that ties in together is a financial strain. So I'm going based off of that. I don't have to sit you down and go over my bills. Now, I may not overcharge you, but don't ever come to me and question me about what you agreed to when you moved in. If you do that, that's when the problem's going
to
start.
Why would you not show them the bills in the beginning to say, hey.
Why do I need to?
If it's your friend.
I mean, that's if I'm telling you to come in, hey, I just need you to pay the electric bill and you'll be good to go. Like, I don't really need to, I don't have to do that. If you telling me that you need a place to stay and I'm charging you, now, if you need a place to stay, I'm already assessing your situation. I wouldn't have somebody come in that don't have a job. I know you can't pay me. That's like me taking you to court with the intentions of getting my money back when I knew at the beginning that you didn't have no money. You have a job and you're coming in. Hey, you got an extra room. Can I come stay with you? Yeah, in order to stay here, you're going to pay $600 a month. Now, if you go a couple of months and then you got a nerve to question me, why am I paying $600 when this is only this? You went snooping around. You're automatically getting out.
So I can't ask you what does my $600 include? Because if I'm signing a lease or if I'm taking an apartment and someone is telling me my rent is... $1,000.
You wouldn't be signing a lease.
I'm gonna say to them, is what is that? Does that include heat and hot water? Like, does that include gas? Like, I can't ask that, or is that just none of your business? Like,
ask no questions.
Now,
because I'm giving you a room, be grateful.
No, my don't ask me no questions.
None of your fucking business. Sit your ass down in that room and be thankful that I'm giving you some place to stay. That's
real. Hey, you pay me $600 a month and you provide with your food. I'm not asking you to pay lights, gas, cable, and anything else that may come with that.
The answer could be everything, or it could be, they just wanted to make sure that you're not going to come and say, after I give you the $600, then you're gonna run to me and say, "Oh, the cables do, or the
this." That would be discussion. No, this is what, in order to live here, this is what you have to pay. If you go in that room, you want to add certain stuff to your room, certain all that crap that comes, this is what you need. That's your problem. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
People know that. I'm gonna assume. However, I'm also not saying you have to do these things. I'm just saying, as a person who I am. And the relationships that I have with people, I wouldn't do my friends the way that you are presenting. I will give my friends the courtesy that I wouldn't give.
What am I doing to my friends? Because I told you had to come in here and pay $600 a month in order to live here.
You're thugging your friends.
There's plenty of shelters out there.
A month. Don't ask me no questions. I want it on the first.
Yeah.
And don't ask me
no questions because you can go get a used car to live in.
There's plenty of shelters.
There's plenty of shelters out there, and there's plenty of used cars you can go buy and sleep in. So it is what it is.
Max for Darnell. He will be aggravated after 2 weeks. Yo, I told you.
I don't like laziness. I don't like people lounging around and don't doing nothing, not being productive. You will not be living in here not paying no bills. That's a fact. Next.
2 weeks.
You can make me listen. You don't have to make me look a certain way. I'm gonna say how it's gonna be, and you can decide as an adult if you want to do it.
I don't think anybody's disagreeing that people should have responsibilities.
Renisha, you just sat here 5 minutes to try to make me look a certain way. Go on.
If I told my friend I wasn't gonna charge them rent because this is their bigger purpose and this is what their goal was, as long as they were doing other things in the house. That doesn't mean they can just come live how they want to, not pay no rent, and at the end of their 6 months, go on about their business and buy their house. You do have to contribute to the household. But I'm saying to myself, before my friend got here, I paid my lights, I paid my gas, I paid my rent, I paid these things in the house, right? So whether they're here or not, I'm going to have to pay my lights and my gas and my rent.
Absolutely.
So if I'm agreeing, not them asking me to be rent-free, but if this is what they come, hey, I want to stay, can I stay with you? Because this is what I need to do. I need this amount of time to save up this amount of money to be able to do this. I'm going to probably tell my friend, you can stay here and I'm not going to charge them a rent. I may even tell them to give me something a month, but it's not going to be, I don't think I'm going to quote it as like a rent, because something what I'll tell them, $200 or $300, maybe, it's not going to be nowhere near to touch the rent. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't call it rent, but that would be what I would say would be their contribution to the house. And I would use that how I see fit. If I want to put it towards the house, then that's fine. If I want to go put gas in my car and get my nails and my feet done, then that's fine.
That's not my business, though. That's not my business. But every situation is different. You got somebody coming with a story that you're sitting down going through all that. Not everybody come with a story.
That's my, and I just, I Donnell, did you miss the fucking point?
No, I didn't miss the fucking point, Renisha. But what I'm telling you is that you're going in the story and you're
saying it depends on who the person is what I said. It depends on your relationship. It's definitely going to differ. I'm not going to have as much a feeling for a person, like I said, who's just random, who I don't know. I'm not going to feel the need to give them an explanation or more of an explanation. But that's just me. I am an over communicator, I must say. So that's how I am tell. In my everyday life. So all I give... You know what I mean? That's just how I am. So I wouldn't feel comfortable charging my friend a certain amount and them not knowing that it's nowhere, like I'm not overcharging them. Even if I don't like break down every bit of money that I'm using, even if it's just my rent and they know that what they're giving me is nowhere near to cover my rent, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have to explain any more of my bills. I would just want my friend to feel like I'm not taking advantage of them in their time of need, whether it's because they're trying to save up or if they are in a financial bind.
That's different from what I'm talking about.
That doesn't sound different because you
it absolutely does sound different. This
your
is
friend, see, your foe, the random neighbor, your grandmother, your friend's aunt, anybody is gonna be on the same thing. You're gonna pay this, mind your business, don't ask me no questions. I'm letting
absolutely right. But if somebody's coming to me in a situation that's totally different, what I said is I'm not gonna allow somebody to move in here because they have a bad situation and don't have a job and think I'm gonna charge them. I'm putting my own self in that situation. It just doesn't make sense if I took that situation to court when I said that part. But if somebody's coming in, obviously the situations are different. But if you're just coming in here and moving in here, and I charge you a certain amount because you're trying to live an easy life, don't question me about what I charge. What I pay for bills ain't none of your business. What I pay for mortgage is none of your business. Is you as an adult moved in here with an agreement that I'm paying $600 a month to live in this room? You decided to do that. Don't question me. Or you getting out?
I guess I'm probably not letting anybody live in my house if I know their intention is to live in my house and that they so that they can have less responsibility and have more freedom. So I'm probably not doing that. The only way a friend is going to live here is if they're in a real situation and their purpose is for real. I'm not doing this so no one can have an easier life. So I guess that's probably because you just said, like, if you're planning to live here so that you can do this and be able to do what you want, then that's different. I'm not doing that. I'm not an enabler. So I'm never going to do that. So if you're living here, staying here for a certain amount of time as my friend, it's because the reason you gave me is purposeful in the end. It's beneficial. It's going to help you in the future. Not so you can go to Freaknik and the damn bike fest and everything that's going on and be able to blow out of control. That's not what I mean. I'm never going to allow a friend to do that. So if you are, then I guess you're right. Then you should overcharge your friend. If you know that your friend is...
I didn't say it was going to overcharge.
So they can have a great life and do with no responsibility.
Hey,
run them
up.
I'm
saying if you look at the percentage, if you look at the percentages of roommates are staying with other people because they're moving into a house or, you know, something like that, I would think the percentages would be pretty low. On how many people
that,
actually become.
To be honest, that depends. I brought that up because I only know of people typically staying because of those situations, like literally. And they're successful in doing stuff. People do that, like move back in with their parents to do the same.
I totally agree with that.
So that's what I know. I don't really know many people with roommates. But the people that I do who have allowed people to stay, there's been like a bigger goal for the reason. It's been short term and there's really been no issues with, you know what I'm saying, that happening. So that's where my perception of what that looks like kind of comes from, because I've seen it happen and for really good reasons of people. Like, I think it's dope if people are, I don't even know if I would stay with some, or I guess I could. I'm going to say, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to like say I can save up $30,000 in 6 months to, you know, do whatever, but people do what they're supposed to do when they really have a goal and they're really, you know, strong-hearted. But
yeah, there's a lot of lazy people out here, though.
It is. I'm not going to disagree
with
you on that.
If they can have an easier way, they're going to take it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And them are the people that I'm not allowing, like, we're not going to do that. Like, if I already know your lifestyle is like that, like, I already know all you do is party and you travel and all you do is this.
Yeah.
You barely pay your bills and shit like that. But then you want to come stay here because your rent here is $500 less than what it is where you at, and now you got $500 more to do what you want while I'm still doing, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
You didn't let Darnell sway you, Renisha. You didn't let him sway you to the other side.
No, the situation.
You were a good friend 15 minutes ago.
I'm still a good friend. I'm still a good friend. I always said that it's situational. It really depends on, but I'm standing hard 10 tones down on the fact that I'm not allowing someone to come stay with me because they're tired of being responsible. Or they need a little bit more flexibility so that they can live a life of fun and entertainment. I'm not doing that. Like, nobody can come to me to do that. My mother, my father, my sister, my brother, nobody. So at the end, my daughter is not going to be able to stay here when she gets of age and just be able to be just doing what the hell she wants and not be having to go and be ready to get her shit together. So at the end of the day, that's just kind of what it is. I get it.
So,
but you have to have a plan in order for me to be a part of your team and allow this to be easy. Your plan has to be bigger than this, a small thing. Like, it has to be big. I like my space.
So if you have a situation, Renisha is probably not the friend you want to contact. If you got nothing else going on and you're not trying to, you know, that's not who you want to contact.
I'm not.
Maybe on the end. Yeah. You know,
I have a kid. I'm raising my kid. Yeah. I'm not into raising grown adults. I'm not into.
I'm with you 100%. That's why if you come up through these doors, unless you're like my type friend and you lost your job and you need some help, I'll let you come in here for like 2 months.
2 weeks.
Not 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks. I have a heart. But if you're working and you're a friend and you come moving up in here and I gave you amount to pay, you better just pay that amount and keep your mouth shut.
Oh, man.
But anyway, I don't know where Rob get this 2 weeks because
it's
going to take 2 weeks to find out what's really going on with you.
I think everyone on the podcast today listening knows it's about 2 weeks now, too.
He sound like that old movie Total Recall. How long are you staying? 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Nah, because it takes about 2 weeks to build up to keep walking through the door and realize that there was no progress done. And that's it needs to build up a little bit before you say, yo, get out, man. You ain't trying to do
that. I've seen somebody tell somebody they were going to stay for a couple months. It'd be a couple years.
Yeah.
And in those years, the person wasn't trying to get out of that situation. The person who allowed them to stay, they totally enabled their whole existence.
Yeah.
So they got so comfortable with doing little to nothing that they could, the thought of getting out back out there and paying a market rent or doing all that was like crazy. And people don't know how to talk to people. People don't want to have uncomfortable conversations. And if it's a friend or a relative, it could very well go on for a long period of time if you don't feel comfortable having uncomfortable conversations. My family and friends know I'm queen of uncomfortableness. I will have a conversation with you about anything. I don't care if your feelings are hurt. I don't care if you think it's out of line.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it. And that's just that. But I don't know.
That's a fact. So, all right. There you have it. For everybody out there listening, I don't know.
Don't ask me or Darnell to stay with us.
Yeah, it was me and Renisha's day while Rob starts a conversation and sits back. I wish you guys were watching this on the screen.
Me and Joaquin are good friends. If you need somewhere to go, just hit me up, man.
Yo, I'd be trying to get out.
I'm not gonna overcharge you.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be the bigger person.
Not overcharge your friends either.
You know what? Now I have to question Rob.
Get back on their feet.
Rob.
Yeah, Joaquin. Thank you, Joaquin. You're a good friend.
You know me. Me and you are friends, right? If you call me up,
Rob,
we're asking a question. Rob, I'm not done since you're trying to put that out in the air. If you call me, Rob, and said, hey, I need a place to stay, what's going to happen?
Well, it sounds like I'm going to be overcharged.
What's going to happen, Rob?
Let me answer the question.
Go ahead.
You've sat here and explained to me what's going to happen. I'm going to be overcharged. I can't ask no questions about the bill. And I got about 2 weeks. And don't let me play no video games. You said don't let me be a gamer. You know what I'm saying? I think it's pretty clear what's going to happen, Darnell.
Rob. You would definitely be the friend that's going to approach me after you snooped around. So you're never going to be overcharged. That's a fact. So anyway, Jesus, this turned into a whole freaking topic.
It did. Terrible.
Jesus Christ.
That was a good topic for 2 weeks.
Yeah, man. It's going to be interesting to see what people are going to say about this since Rob just turned me into a...
I didn't say a word. I didn't speak well, for like
it wasn't you
minutes.
This time. You and your cousin started, and then, you know, today was me and Renisha's day. That's going to happen at least once or twice a month. You ain't got to worry about that. It's either going to be me and Rob or me and Renisha. Me and Waukee really don't get into it that much.
Oh, I got something to say here. I'm sorry. You just reminded me of something real quick. We're moving on to a different topic.
Go ahead.
But I was at a basketball game this morning, right, for my son. Guess who ended up being in the building at the game randomly? Right?
Drake?
What'd you say?
Drake?
But almost. So Francis's wife was there.
Oh.
Hilarious.
Guess what came up? Guess who came up?
Darnell.
Are you serious?
Darnell. Like, so this has become a thing, right? So we're there. And she brings up the podcast, and she's like, I don't know if Darnell understands what he started, right? I don't know if he fully understands. She said, Darnell has signed up for a lifetime of debates with Francis, and I don't know if he realizes what he's doing. So I just want to put that out there to you.
So let me, I want to address her properly.
We'll call her Miss Holder.
Miss Holder. I appreciate you. I'm sorry if I'm causing any type of disruption or anything down on your side. But I know a few people like Francis. I knew what I was doing. I know how to, you know, shake the boat. But I can send a message back, can I? Is that all right?
I mean, you're doing it now.
I'm waiting for Francis to accept that invitation and come back on, because it's all fun debates. We ain't got a problem.
And he's just waiting for your June date.
I mean, it's all fun stuff. It's nothing street, nothing like that. But if a certain individual keeps sending me gun photos.
I already told you, do not let it go street.
You already know.
Do not let it go street.
No, it will not go street. But if a certain individual keeps sending them gun photos, I don't know. At some point, you know, it's a threat, you know. But anyway, it's all good, man. I enjoy it. Francis, you know, he's funny to me. He's hilarious. And I appreciate the, you know, the text messages that he sends to his friends. He don't send them directly, but, you know, Robert's the spokesperson.
I think if we are going to engage in what we set out to talk about here today, mm-hmm. this would be like the great segue, you know, because Francis, guns, shootings,
yeah, it is.
Oh yeah, that's yeah,
things like that. Francis is the gun guy.
He'll probably come back again where he doesn't see it's a problem, but we can get into this.
Poor Francis.
Shots fired.
I didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing at all. No, I don't want to put that on him, but clearly there's a problem out here. Our first debate and conversation we had about this would probably be totally different than what's going on right now. Yeah. So I would like him to definitely come back on and let's talk about his concerns. I would have to go listen to that episode again because he took so long to come back. But anyway, if we could just take a few minutes to, you know, address, you know, these mass shootings that's been taking place. I think I read somewhere that it's been 27 mass shootings so far, and it didn't indicate whether it was this year overall. I know it can't be overall, so they must have been addressing this year.
2022.
Mm-hmm. And especially like school shootings, and now it just seemed like it's going from high school to younger and younger. It's getting crazy. And I know as being on here with members that are all parents, you know, and stories that I heard that, you know, parents are worried, upset, confused, kids are scared, teachers, you know, I don't really hear too much from teachers. So we definitely need to bring somebody on to talk, you know, from their perspective. But I wanted to get you guys' take on what has been going on, because, you know, we had the Buffalo shooting in Texas, the Sandy Hook shooting, and even going back to the Columbine shooting that took place in 1999, like where, you know, that was one of the bigger ones for me. And that sounds weird to even say that these are going on, period, whether it's something like big that hit the news or whatever. But mm-hmm. I wanted to get you guys' take, as you guys being my friends, and I am a concerned friend, you know, because certain things get out there. But I want to get you guys' take on, number one, how are you feeling?
Rob, I don't know why we didn't call Deb. and ask Deb to be on.
I thought about that after the fact.
I'm just thinking about it now. Like, why didn't we just have Cuzzo come on? Anyways,
that would have been good. But it, you know, reading text messages would be really good. But you know,
I'd rather just to think. Like, I was trying to think of a teacher, and she didn't come into my head until just now, literally. Yeah. But I am. This stuff always overwhelms me. Like being a mom of a 15-year-old who's obviously in school, it's concerning. Like I'm gonna speak specifically to the school shootings, because that's what not that all shootings don't, but it bothers me the most, because it is a lot of like safe havens for some children. Like some children really go there to get away from crazy stuff that's going on at home, and then to be there and then still not be safe. And then teachers, you have teachers who are like who would have to put themselves at risk, right? Like they're like first responders when it comes to mass shootings and inside. They're like the captain who's supposed to go down with the ship, right? Like, so I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine being a teacher in the society that we have. Students, I graduated in 98. So when was Columbine?
99.
So I graduated in 98. I actually went to school in Texas by like 99, 2000 for college. I was down there. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, Columbine was so fresh in my head because I was on a campus where, you know, Texas is an open carry state. So we had a whole range on campus. I would walk on the campus daily and people were just, holsters was everywhere. My firearms class, they would come to class. Everybody had guns. Some of them had guns on each of their hips, right? Like on each side of them. And to think in a classroom, like you're sitting there thinking, and with such a big mass shooting just happening at a school a year prior, all the things that go through your mind. So it kind of calmed down a little, but then I had my daughter, right? Because I didn't have her at that time, but then I had my daughter, and these shootings gave a whole different meaning to like concern and safety in schools. What should happen? How do you even address that? Because I mean, can you really teach safety when it comes to these type of situations? I've been in all kinds of things where they're supposed to teach you how to do things, but in that moment, that's not how it works. They tell you when you get into a car accident or you're sliding on water, follow the car. When you're in that moment, you're trying to steer the car away. You're not thinking about that, right? Like, so I don't even know how to help us in our schools. I don't know what can happen. I don't know how to be school safe.
I think you start with metal detectors in every school.
They used to have metal
detectors about that before. We talked about that before, where it seems like the only schools that we're seeing metal detectors in are inner city schools. And I'm going to bring it up again. You know, all of us pretty much unanimously said, you know, we're not seeing mass shootings in inner city schools. We're really seeing them in like suburban areas. And it's not really in the city. However, the metal detectors aren't where these shootings are happening. Right. So that's a start. The other thing is gun reform. Like people always constantly, it's a back and forth gun reform. People are saying, you know, we have the right to bear arms. It's in the Constitution. It shouldn't change. That's bullshit to me, you know. Yeah.
Or you want to take away the right to bear arms, or what?
I don't want to take away the right to bear arms. I think that there are things that need to be looked at. Like number one, I don't think that there's any reason, and people are trying to justify it, but I haven't heard a reasonable
for the AR-15 for
why anyone needs an AR-15. I do not understand why you need an assault rifle in your home. I'm still waiting to hear that. I would like Francis to come on, because I'm pretty sure he's going to come up with some sort of explanation for why it's been, and I don't want to speak for him, but he has really supported AR-15s before, and people having AR-15s, I'll say that. But I don't see the point of that. I don't see the point of it. I also think we need to look at, you know, raising the age limit for people having guns, right? These are school shootings, teenagers going into schools and shooting people. I think you can buy a gun at 18. Am I
Yeah, 18. They're supposed to be going up until 21.
Depends on where you are.
Like you can't. Yeah, you can't drive until a certain age. I mean, it is. You know what I mean? But like, we can't drink until you're a certain age. Why are we not looking at the gun age for people that are able to buy guns?
Parents,
right?
Also, though, you have parents. Didn't we have the last time we spoke a last shooting incident? The one I can't remember. Please don't kill me. But the parents have bought him his first guns for his birthday, right? Like, so they purchased them for him. He wasn't even the one to purchase the gun. So it's that too.
And some people are actually getting them off the parent, which is supposed to be the responsible one. They don't actually have a gun, but they stole it off of someone else that they knew had a gun. So that's another issue that you also have to worry about when guns are not stored away properly. And, you know, I don't know how easy it is to break into some of these safes and stuff like that, but I can't imagine that the guns were actually put away safely.
No, in Texas, they'd be hanging them on their wall.
Mm-hmm. Either that or they have, or that they have passwords.
Yeah.
My daughter would have the passwords to my safe because she would need to have access to my gun if she needed to help defend the house, right?
That's so.
That's also the thing. It's catch 22. Mm-hmm. You do have to, you want to make sure that when you have guns in the house that they are locked up and secure and safe. But if you do have children who are of age to know how to use guns and things like that, you also might share passwords with them because if you're already teaching them how to be responsible and use guns for safety to guard the home, then it would defeat the purpose if they didn't have access, right, to the guns and be responsible. But it's hard. That's hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
What's your take on it, bro? What, Waukee?
I'm with Donna and Robin on that. I mean, with Renisha and Rob. Because it is getting kind of crazy. Even out here, they got them little ghost guns out here now where they get to make them. Without, and they could just go through metal detectors and all that stuff, but they got these teacher lives and kids' lives on like crazy right now. It's just like I'd be scared with my kids going to school sometimes, and I gotta tell them, yo, don't even think about it. Don't think negative. You know, just go to school, do your thing, just be on a safe side. Keep your eyes open on anything, because they go out to the little far out schools. It's sad that the far out schools are the ones that's getting attacked, which you thought the public ones would be the worst.
Yeah.
But it's the opposite. You know, I don't know what these kids be thinking now. I don't know if some of them just a race thing or some of them got bullied in school and they just coming back to retaliate on teachers and kids that that's innocent. But for them to shoot up little kids like dude did, that's ridiculous.
So... To be honest, I have always, I particularly don't have a concern for my daughter's safety when she's at school when it comes to this type of stuff. I'm probably more concerned with the normal stuff, if she's going to get into a fight or if something normal happens at her school, right? However, all of these things I took into consideration when I was considering sending my daughter out to Metco schools, right? Because no racism here. It's just predominantly white students in most of these schools. And all I can think about was where these types of things happen. So when I tell you like my concern as a parent, that definitely played heavily. Far out, if something happened, how long will it take me to get there? Right? Like all of these things popped into my head. I wasn't thinking about the great education that she might get, the opportunities that might be presented, because all I can think about was the safety side of it, the racism side of it, and I still stand strong and firm on it, right? So when I do hear about these mass school shootings, I am still more concerned with our people who are in the suburban schools, who are in the medical schools, who are far out, because they're more likely to be targeted than my daughter's school, right? And that's hard and that's sad that as a parent, I would literally choose just the safety over, let's say, a better education or better experiences or opportunities, because I'm way more concerned with if my daughter's going to go to school and come home after school because someone might come into her school and shoot it up. So it's hard and it's sad and it's crazy that these are the things that we think about when we're thinking about our kids and growing them into like adults.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then I got mad at one of the teachers because they got the nerve to take my son's phone from him. And I'm like, I'm like, why y'all taking phones from these kids in case of emergency? They need to call. They get a chance to call somebody if the teachers can't call nobody. You know what I mean? Y'all snatching their phones just to be mean to the kids. But at the same time, us parents give our kids phones for emergencies. You know, it's crazy, man.
Yeah. I want to respond to two things. One, that is sad. What Renisha said, that is sad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you can't tell someone how to feel. Like, Renisha, you feel that way. That's your reason behind the decisions that you made, right? My kids go to MECO schools. Mm-hmm. I actually attended MECO schools myself, right?
It would make more sense if you sent your kids, especially if you went and you had a great experience.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking.
No, and I know you're not. And I didn't take it as that, but I do want to speak to, because I think that I want to speak to the MECO piece of it, right? Obviously, you're going to have different experiences being in a community where people don't predominantly look like you. It'd be interesting to me when we're looking at these school shootings to see where a majority of these school shootings are happening, mm-hmm. right? I know up here we had Sandy Hook in Connecticut, right? But aside from that, and I don't have it in front of me. It's not facts. I feel like a lot of these have been like in Southern states, Midwest states. So we have to look at that when we're looking at like what's happening in that area with these school shootings. I don't want to just predominantly say it's, you know, white, all suburbs, because I need to look at the numbers to see where it's happening. If we're going to attack it, what's going on there? What are the laws there?
You know, I think my problem is I'm a person that thinks of I always have that what if in the back of my mind, right? And that's with every little thing. So again, if like you said, I think it's everyone has their own, but that's really big to me. Although I do know that there hasn't been, that I know of, any in, let's say, the state of Massachusetts. I won't say the whole New England. I won't say up north. Let's just say Massachusetts, because that's where we live. Mm-hmm. That's not, like, it's the fear isn't because we've experienced it. The fear is because those populations are more prone to
experience
it, right? So, yeah, but I get it.
Yeah. Shout out to that. Did you have another point, Rob? Are you done?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was quick. I'm good with that.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. I just hope that things get better. My issues, man, is when certain things start, one person starts something, there's always another coward that think that they can do the same thing to make a statement or get off their hatred or something like that. Because I remember when it was schools, it was schools now, and then people wanted to do the churches, and now they want to do grocery stores, man. It's just absolutely ridiculous out here. But just be careful. I would say don't just put metal detectors in schools just for the look. You actually got to put people around to man these certain areas to make sure. I'm not saying make it look like a army base, but don't make it for a look, because people can read that with no problem just by going in and trying to case out the place, or, you know, those things are not even on, or my teacher is the only one that pays attention. I don't think teachers should be manning metal detectors at all.
No, tell you the truth, they need to put some undercover cops and make them as teachers.
And they're going to complain about time and cities being able to afford and all that stuff, so...
Well, I guess in BPS, this is the big argument that they're having now regarding the school police having been pulled from being present in the schools.
Yeah.
So they've been showing. So I've seen more incidents now that as being publicized, now that BPS doesn't have their school police in the schools. Mm. I'm not going to say that these things are happening more because of that.
No.
Right? Because it was happening when I was in school and we had school police 25 years ago, right? So, but I am saying that I think that some sort of a presence of somebody with a little bit more power than just a teacher or a principal is definitely needed within, you know, the schools, and they're needed in the inner city schools as well. Like, because we don't have mass shootings, but we got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I know Francis was mentioning before about people getting shot at schools, and it's more so I'm hearing more of like people are getting caught with weapons at school more than people are actually being hurt with the weapons that they're being caught with. Not to say that the end result could be someone being hurt, but that hasn't been what the reports that we have been getting, right? And so that was like my biggest argument with Francis was like, I get what you're saying about the guns, but let's be honest, what are the problems that we are having in our schools? And to the point that you said, Rob, as far as being in the South, yes. So maybe gun reform definitely, not maybe, it definitely needs to be looked at and addressed, because the states that have stricter gun laws like us and things like are not experiencing what these open carry, anybody can have a gun, you know, license to carry type thing are experiencing. So yes, there is a connection with guns being legalized, right? And having the accessibility to get them legally and mass shootings. There's a connection.
Absolutely. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The guns that are being used are not illegally obtained guns. These are not guns like how we're finding in our hoods when they're scratched off serial numbers and all this stolen. That's not what we're finding. We're finding these people are shooting up these schools and churches and grocery stores with guns that they purchased legally from gun stores. Like,
I want to, between now and our next show about this, I want to pull some numbers around like where these are happening. Like what are the laws? Like where are they most common? And I do want to, we keep bringing up Francis, right? But I do want to bring him back and I want to have that conversation and kind of get into that, because I think it's something to look at, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It'll be good.
Tell him to come back on, man.
I will.
I definitely would like to hear someone convince me, like you, Rob, that AR-15s are a necessary weapon for an average person, non-military, to be having and just purchasing.
You know, absolutely. You know, up in Massachusetts, they stopped the purchase of AR-15s, right? So if you had one previously, you could keep your AR-15, but now you can't purchase an AR-15 in Massachusetts. That's a change.
I can't see, as far as like a household, you know, I can't see why that would be a reason why you actually need one. I don't even know how you're going to be able to explain that. But I wanted to make sure that we do touch on this, you know, because it is something that's crazy that's currently actively going on and it's been going on for a while with mass shootings, period. So we're definitely going to get a part two of this, because I do want to get. Yes.
Okay. I was going to let you go. I'm mistaken.
Yeah, we definitely got to get a part two of this, because I definitely want to get hopefully next time we record, we can get I had a teacher in mind, but if we can get somebody to come on. But at the same time, Francis should join this conversation as well, for him being an expert in guns. He's a professional expert. So
definitely. So a licensed firearm dealer.
A licensed firearm dealer. And so you would have to be an expert in order to get into to be a firearms dealer or have a decent amount of knowledge.
Just give that man's title the proper, you know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
You don't think someone calling somebody an expert was a disrespect?
No, I
or
just
less
wanted
of
to
a,
make sure that you
okay
you,
okay
that you properly stated he was a firearm.
So clear.
That was it.
So I'm trying to
help you.
Now I'm feeling some kind of way here, because I don't know if you're my bro right now or you're like Francis' spokesperson or some kind of.
You.
Okay.
Gonna come on
got
here.
It. Got it.
I want to make sure that you properly say this man's title.
Okay.
That's the next thing that y'all are going at.
Okay. So I take that back. I apologize, because I thought you were going another way with it, but you're just telling me that Francis is caught up on title. So I apologize if I didn't get his titles properly.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So other than that, yeah, let's save this food.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, Renice.
I also think that it would be helpful to the conversation if we heard from how students are feeling mass shootings and stuff in school as well. Like, see where their mental's at, see how that's affecting them, see what they're thinking when they're getting up in the morning entering
that's a fact schools. Yeah, definitely. Let's do that. Let's save that for part two. Let's get people on. Hopefully it works with our times, and anybody that knows any students that may have been up on that, up on what's going on, let's see how they're feeling. That's important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The mental, like, I'm not even in these schools, man. And my anxiety and all that stuff was, you know, I was like, it's crazy out here. But yeah, that would be important. So I like that. Other than that, something else that's going on in Boston. Anybody that's in Boston, I'm a part of a play that I'm putting together. It's called I'm Friended by My Enemy. My boy, the playwright, the director, Larry Hicks, is going to be at the RCC on June 24th and June 25th at 8 p.m. The cheapest ticket is $30. The most expensive ticket is $65 if you want VIP. So I'm going to, if I can have a minute and 30 seconds of your time, I'm going to play a quick commercial and we'll be right back. Larry Hicks presents Friended by My Enemy, June 24th and 25th at 8 p.m. at the RCC, Roxbury Community College, 1234 Columbus Avenue, Boston, Mass. Two shows only. Don't miss this play. After a brutal murder, Terrence tries to cope with his wife being sentenced while maintaining his relationship with his church, father, and daughter. Terrence later finds out that something strange is going on. Things aren't making sense. If it wasn't his wife who committed the murder, who could it be? Get your tickets today at eventbrite.com. VIP tickets are also available, which includes early entry, free t-shirt, a free raffle ticket, dinner, and picture with the cast. This venue is also wheelchair accessible. Please make sure you get your tickets today. Hope to see you there. Yeah. So make sure you guys get your tickets. I would love to see everybody in the building that's in Boston. And even if you're in the Connecticut area or you feel like coming down to check out this play, come check it out. It's June 24th and 25th at 8 p.m. at the RCC.
I'll be there. Sure.
Yeah,
I'll
be there. Definitely come out and check that out. Yeah, yeah.
Rep your boy Darnell. Like, come on.
Sir, yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why we don't get like free VIP tickets or.
I wasn't going to say it on air. I was going to say it.
No, we're going to say it on air.
Okay.
But, you know, he can address it off air, but we can say
it. I need a t-shirt.
All right. So the thing is that, you know, this is something up and coming that we're trying to do. So me giving out free tickets wouldn't be right. Especially,
I can't believe he even responded to this right now.
No, because I just want to be honest.
You got to always ask.
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't got inboxes already because I had a message to put on social media for all the people that, you know. But the thing is, it's just starting off and something like that. So I, unfortunately, because I was the one in the meetings advocating that this time around we can't be giving out so many free tickets. Because it was insane, and then there's people, you know what I mean? So, you know, this time around, until we get to a decent level, you know, you can have all the VIP, free VIPs you want. But unfortunately, all my family and friends, you're going to definitely have to pay this time around.
Absolutely.
And we greatly appreciate your support for anybody out there listening.
Hey, Darnell.
But then it's the ones that got deep pockets that always wants the free tickets. But, you know, so.
A shot just now.
No, not at you at all.
Okay. at you
at all. But other than that, thank you guys for tuning into our episodes today. You know, we're gonna this is season four, we're coming back strong. One thing I learned is that, you know, I'm excited about doing podcasts, but you know, when you try, you get so stuck in your head trying to invent something new or recreate and you know, advance and do something different. So, you know, the show can come more exciting and appealing, but you know, yeah, you know, you just got to keep going and keep pushing, and things that happen. So, we're gonna be more consistent, you know, and put these episodes out there.
New guests, new topics.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate you guys listening and staying hanging in there with us. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. @YallAin'tEasy_podcast. All our social medias are Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @YallAin'tEasy_podcast, Facebook, @YallAin'tEasy and RJD podcast. And our emails, @YallAin'tEasy@gmail.com. Other than that, I thank you guys for listening. I'm one of your hosts, Darnell.
This is Rob.
It's your boy, Joaquin.
And your girl, Nisha.
Peace.
Peace.